Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our outstanding affiliates across the country. Right now, we head out to the Progressive Guest Line, joining us from Parts Unknown, the great Adam Chernoff, longtime friend of the show. You can follow him on X at Adam Chernoff. Good afternoon, pal. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So the Parts Unknown last week caught me off guard, but I went and looked it up. Did you guys know 23 different wrestlers in the history of WWF and WWE have been billed from Parts Unknown?
Get so out of here.
If we keep this up, I'll get some ropes like the Warrior to shake pre-segment here.
Well, I love it. Great job out of you. 23. I would have guessed surprising. Like, I would have guessed 6-8 maybe.
Yeah. I'm missing link comes to mind.
You would think it's a gimmick, right? But yeah. It seemed like it was much more common than I ever thought that it was.
My wife and I are planning a vacation to Parts Unknown after the Super Bowl. Should be a lot of fun. Okay, so let's begin with the games that we have on Saturday, the early game. And Buffalo opened up at most books anyway, a small favorite, 1 or 1.5. It has since flipped pretty much everywhere. Denver sitting here as a 1.5-point favorite. Total is right now 45.5 or 46.5. What do you make of this game, Adam?
I'm a little bit stuck and I'm a little bit conflicted here because I am sitting on a Bills-Rams Super Bowl exacta from late April that I paid around 60-1. And so I have a pretty strong financial interest in the Bills continuing to progress. But I got to tell you guys, this looks like it's just a brutal matchup for the Bills across the board here. Mm. The wide receiver injuries that they have to deal with going into Denver, where the bye, I still think this bye is being underpriced even in 2026 now that we are. It just seems like it's always a little bit short. And just the matchup against this Broncos defense, which is so good against the run. They're good against everything. But it seems like unless this is a Josh Allen hero game, which is certainly in the cards, this Broncos defense is going to have their way with this Bills offense. And on the other side, this Broncos offensive line is so good. And unlike the Jags, who we talked about last week, where I like the Bills, was saying that you want to attack the Bills on the ground behind the strong offensive line. It's been their weakness for years. And that's, I think, exactly what the Broncos can do. And so it lightens the burden here on Bo Nix a little bit in this playoff start for him. So, again, very conflicted as I've got that big payout on Buffalo that's pending in the back pocket that I'm sitting on, but certainly looks just super favorable here for Denver across the board.
All right. Most people are making the case that it could be, based on what you're saying, a rather large day for rookie running back RJ Harvey on the ground and also like in the passing attack as well. Do you see it the same way? Do you see maybe a little bit of Jaleel McLaughlin? Like, have you looked at prop numbers? Who else could be involved here?
Yeah, it's always a bit of a mystery with Sean Payton and how he handles the running backs and who gets the couple extra features and when you get the big breakout runs. But you think about the Bills and just defensively what they've been conceding all season. They're allowed 6.5 yards per carry to Jacksonville last week, which was a team that had a lot of inconsistency running the ball. It was 31st on the season in terms of EPA per rush conceded. Denver's offensive line, if you want another really telling stat just for how dominant it is, right at the top of the league for yards blocked before first contact. And so whether you're looking at Jaleel McLaughlin, whether you're looking at RJ Harvey, however you're wanting to attack this, lots of favorable matchups here across the board for this Broncos run game behind this run, this offensive line. It's just, it's the big weakness that has killed Buffalo for years that is going to be on display again that Denver can exploit.
All right. This has never happened before, the late game. They met in week one. They met in the last game, and now they meet in the playoffs. Both games were low scoring, 17-13 and 13-3. Horrible spot for the 49ers. Injured, short week, travel yet again. What do you think here? Seattle laying 7 and a total of 45, even though we had two low scoring games.
Yeah, there's even a couple 44.5 showing up. This is an over for me for the full game. The last game in the regular season opened around 50.5 and was really a true reflection of just how many issues this 49ers defense has. And there was some major pro money on that under. And that thing ended up closing 47.5 shaded to the under. It was a 3-point move in a big game in a standalone spot. And now we're getting the rematch, as you said, just a couple weeks later. And this has been adjusted down to, we'll call it 45 here, as it's showing on the screen. But it's a 49ers defense that cannot generate pressure. Last week against Philadelphia, they sat in cover two, hoped and prayed. It was kind of a very surprised but somewhat typical Salah game plan. It's kind of what he's done throughout his career. Sat in cover two, and the Eagles, despite having answers to beat it, elected to go a different direction and struggled. And so I don't think last week what we saw, as maybe as exciting as it was to see how bought in everyone was on the sideline, it's not a reflection that this Niners defense is fixed. And so Seattle, they can beat them on the ground. They can beat them out wide. The Seahawks are going to move the ball. And then you have Purdy and the 49ers just in chase mode, really, I think, all game. I don't see this as a game where they're going to get an early score, lean on McCaffrey running it, lean on the run game, because Seattle's so good at stopping the run with lighter personnel on the field. San Francisco's going to have to throw it. And after a bit of a curveball thrown their way two different times this season, is McDonald going to come up with something off the bye? Certainly possible, not putting it past him, but this to me is a game where the 49ers go down swinging, having some success throwing the football. Weather is very reasonable for a January game in Seattle too. So this one is going over the total of 45, in my opinion.
It sounds like we're on the same page here. I brought up the point earlier that it feels correlated on both sides. Running backs over, like attempts, yards, maybe combined there. Team rushing totals for Seattle. Darnold under stuff, getting a lead. They rely on Charbonnet and Walker. On the flip side, McCaffrey under in the rushing game. Purdy over with a bunch of stuff. Maybe McCaffrey over in the passing game. And also Tongas.
Yeah, definitely agree on the Seattle side of that, and agree with the Purdy sentiment as well for the over and passing. Seattle's O-line is going to be a little bit healthier than what it was in that first meeting as well. You're also going to see more favorable weather as well for passing. In that game in Week 18 that is being referenced so often in this matchup, there was some wind, there was some cold, there was a little bit of rain as well. And so much better conditions here too if you're playing that Purdy passing angle on the other side. But yeah, I agree with you here. Seattle backs going to have a big game. I think you see JSN have a big one as well. So I'm with you on that one. We're seeing it the same way. I like this full game over.
Before we get into the Sunday games, and I want to bring it up here because of how bad Stroud played, what quarterback concerns you the most that could implode and cost his team a victory?
Good question, because we'll get to Stroud and the absence likely, perhaps, of Nico Collins, the way that that's trending. But looking at it this week, how do you not point at Sam Darnold? I know we're saying the running backs are going to have a big game, but after what we saw down the stretch last year, I think there's a lot more confidence in Bo Nix. We talked last week about both one seats potentially being flawed.
Yep.
But is there, like, Stafford's proven who he was. You got last week Caleb Williams with the big comeback. He earns himself some grace. Drake May has looked awesome. Stroud's perhaps without his best offensive weapon. Purdy, you wouldn't put it past the injuries. Josh Allen's doing everything he can without wide receivers. You have these two one seeds, but I think Nick's in a much more comfortable spot. To me, all of the pressure this week is on Sam Darnold to kind of justify his entire career, justify the collapse last season. To me, the easy answer there is Sam Darnold.
Fair enough. Okay, I think we're on the same side here. So, no Collins. Kirk with the career game, but they get two defensive touchdowns and shutting down Pittsburgh. What do you think of Houston catching three at New England?
Yeah, it's a mess without Collins. I don't see what has been a very sporadic offense at a lot of times this season just being able to compete. I mean, Collins is the guy that beats the coverages that New England sits in defensively. Collins is the guy that opens up a guy like Kirk, who opens up the run game, who makes us forget about how many issues this offensive line has had throughout the season. I mean, he has unlocked everything, and you take him out of the picture, and this is going to be very tough. I was impressed with how the Pats defense last week played. They got a few key guys back, but that was a Pats defense that represented the coach that's leading this team, playing to an elevated level against the Chargers team that had some advantages despite their issues at tackle, because the Pats have not been an outside pressure team all season. Mm-hmm. And to hold that Chargers offense to sub 4 yards per play for the majority of the game was very, very impressive. And so I think this is trouble for Houston. I have wanted to find a way the last couple of weeks to get into futures. This was kind of the one matchup that really scared me for how their outlook could be making a run potentially to the Super Bowl behind that really, really good defense. But man, this is trouble without Collins. So this has been bet up to 3 -20. There has been some pro money earlier on the week on New England, kind of anticipating that injury. I agree fully with that. I think this is a game where we see May continue his dominance, and to throw it out as well, like that game finished relatively low scoring last week. There were certainly some opportunities for the Pats to add on a couple more touchdowns in that to make that look a lot more lopsided. So maybe not fully reflective. This to me is still a little bit short here at 3 -20.
Yeah, South Point here in Vegas has been at 3.5 on the game for a little while earlier today. They don't like to use juice on sides. We'll continue here with Adam Chernoff. You can go to the website, adamchernoff.com. Follow him on X at Adam Chernoff. Get his thoughts on Bears-Rams. Also on Sunday coming up, what does he make of Harbaugh to the Giants and some of these other openings? We'll ask him next here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We continue talking divisional round with longtime friend of the show, Adam Chernoff. Love the analysis, as always, on the National Football League on X, at Adam Chernoff. That's also the name of the website you can go check out as well. So the Rams at the Bears to wrap it up for the divisional round on Sunday afternoon / early evening. Rams open up as high as 4.5. I grabbed the Bears at that number, then they were bet down to 3.5, and now slowly but surely it's moving back up. 4 most spots, and I'm looking at DK right now, back to 4.5 with the Rams in this game, Adam. What do you think of the number right now?
Well, let's talk about a few things here. We were talking during the break, if you're looking at teasers, do you tease Seattle down? I said the answer is yes. To me, I would pair it with the Bears being teased up. You had another thought there with potentially Buffalo or Denver, whichever side that one ends up at. So that's an interesting way to look. There's props we can get to. There's a lot to talk about on this game, but just analysis-wise, matchup-wise, handicapping-wise, the big thing all week has been the cold and it's been the wind. The wind is not going to be as impactful, in my opinion, based on weather models I'm looking at, as what it is being discussed to be. And the market always reflects this. Like, we seldom get this wrong. We saw it last week too, as we talked about the over in Green Bay, Chicago. That thing was getting smashed under. It ends up flying over with a wild fourth quarter. It's just, we're at 48. If the winds were 30 plus miles per hour, like it's being talked about, those games historically have closed the last 10 years with an average total of 39. And so I get it's come down a little bit. I wouldn't be too freaked out about the weather. In terms of cold, slows things down a little bit, but everybody on both sides of these teams is conditioned to playing in cold weather. And so I wouldn't let that be a big deterrent either. As we look at the matchup, the Rams this season at various times have run a ton of 13 personnel. And it's something they've kind of, I don't want to say revolutionized the league with, but it's something that they've done exceptionally well. And it's really fueled their offense to have as much success as they have had at points in the season and led Stafford to what should be an MVP season. To me, they go right back to that this game against this Bears defense that has a key injury at linebacker, but it's a very overrated defense as is. And so that's especially true with some offensive line health coming back to help the Rams. And so this is a game to me where the Rams come out in those looks that we've seen at various times this season that they've had so much success with. This is going to be a big Kyren Williams game, in my opinion, receiving and rushing combo over 73.5. I think he's going to be a major focal point of this offense that's able to move it against Chicago. And then you're going to have the Bears doing what they've done all season. It's scheming up awesome run game plans, which is the weaker portion of the Rams defense. That's Ben Johnson's MO. It's his calling card, if you will. And then as they have all season, they're probably going to be playing a little bit from behind, and you see Caleb Williams do great things when they're chasing. And so I like that Williams look quite a bit. I think this game plays quite differently from how it's being discussed. And I think this is going to be another very exciting Bears game. To me, excitement-wise, of all the games we're going to see this week, this is the one. And so I would not be surprised if we see some of these 48s get taken out and this start to go back the other way. I think it's being misrepresented to how this is going to play and look on Sunday.
You've talked about this for years when you've been on, about curious play calling by McVay. Can you believe how bad they are 3rd, 4th, and 1?
No, I don't have an explanation for it, because he's viewed as his great offensive mind, and he gets in those scenarios. I don't understand it. We're going to talk about another coach in a minute who's got similar game state sort of problems that now has a new home in New York. But yeah, McVay, for as much credit as he gets, it's bizarre in those scenarios. Think back earlier in the season in overtime, some of the blunders that he had against San Francisco. I mean, it's just, I don't know what it is. I wish there was an explanation for it. I've never heard a logical case for it. It's just, it's bizarre how some of these great coaches handle some of these scenarios. I'm with you.
So your bets then, San Francisco, Seattle over, that was your biggest one. Patriots -3, -20 cents. And you also, the May attempts for the prop?
Yeah, we missed that. A little rusty here after a regular season and no media. Blew through May over 6.5. Rushing attempts. Houston allows more QB scrambles against than any team in the league because they play so much man coverage outside. You have those DBs and safeties turned. It's just the classic matchup spot, and May scrambles more than any other QB. And so not only do you have Neal's potentially built in here, if you think the Houston defense plays a little bit closer, but just schematically, you have a QB that loves to run and get outside of the pocket, and a defense that has really struggled to pay a lot of attention to that based on how they play. So that sets up pretty well when you're looking at 6.5.
Very good. That and also the Kyren Williams rushing and receiving yards combo prop at 73.5 in the Rams-Bears game. Okay, so then you brought it up. We wanted to talk to you about this as well. What was your reaction to John Harbaugh officially taking the Giants job?
Good hire by the Giants. If you're a Giants fan, you have to be excited. It's the first proven winner, if you will, since Coughlin about a decade ago when that ended. They've had these novice hires in between, three guys in a row. It depends how you want to look at Shermer, not in that same category, but it's a probably a pretty refreshing hire for any Giants fan. He's a culture builder, which the Giants desperately need. I don't know if the comparisons between Dart and Jackson are necessarily fair, but I do think you see a defense that's been super passive that now is out. Awesome D-line, reflect kind of the culture and the style that Baltimore has played with similar makeup for a defense over the last decade. And so I think that's a positive for Giants fans too. So good hire, obviously. It's going to be very important on who we see as coordinators here, though, just because Harbaugh is that kind of hands-off. But to the point I made last segment, we're talking about great coaches that are held in high regard that have weird game state blunders. The worry here is if those great coordinators are not hired, I mean, how many fourth quarter leads have we seen Harbaugh's Ravens blow? How many weird choices late have we seen? And so maybe that changes with the right coordinators, but that's kind of a concern here as you look to the Giants needing that leadership category.
What do you think happens in Pittsburgh with Tomlin out?
Yeah, this is, I thought it was a joke when I read it, but it's true. The Steelers have had 3 head coaches since 1969. Yeah. Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
Three head coaches since 1969. I read this and I knew it's a great franchise and I mean comfortable, but that's insane. Because as a Jets fan, we've had more coaches in the last six seasons than that. And so that to me was crazy. If you believe that Rooney is going to go with his type, it's going to be a defensive minded coach who's a DC becoming a first time head coach that's pretty young. And so that's the family's last three hires in the last 50 years. And so you think about a lot of defensive minded candidates are on the table this year. Shula, Minter, Halfley, all of those guys really fit the bill. There was an interesting move on Kalshi in favor of Shula, as we saw some of those percentages kick up recently. And so perhaps that's the way that Pittsburgh is going to be leaning. But if you buy into that being the case, to be one of those defensive guys. But great ownership, great storied franchise. It's going to be massive shoes to fill behind Tomlin for any of these younger guys that likely comes through and takes that job. Key thing here, what do they do with the QB position? Mm-hmm. That's going to truly decide everything in this division for him.
All right, pal. Love talking to you. Thanks so much for the time. Best of luck this weekend. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Enjoy the divisional round. We'll chat again soon.
There you go. Chernoff. You can follow him on X at Adam Chernoff. Joined us here on the Progressive Guest Line.
You know, the more you think about it, you really make a case that because their numbers are all so low that all these guys can go over in the Bears game. Well, you see where Burden's at, where you see where Adunze's priced and Parkinson. And I mean,
Parkinson's 19 and a half again.
Yeah. Adunze, 25 yards each half is 5-1.
And so if the wind's not going to be a factor.
It's going to be throw, I think, too. And well, you can get on the ground with Swift, too. But where's the Puka? Puka, 25 yards each half, $1.40. 5 yards each quarter, plus 145. Stafford, 100 yards both halves, $1.40. I mean, how many carries will Williams get? He'll get some. But you know how McVay is, too. I could see a lot of these go. And we mentioned the Loveland and Puka, 5 yards each quarter, 9-1, which you mentioned earlier in the week.
Grade the nickname here. Superfly Puka Nacua.
There's a resemblance. I didn't see that till now.
No, just because it rhymes.
Well, I was looking at the hair and how he actually looks like him.
Yeah, a little bit. Actually considered it. I just did because the name rhymes.
Yeah, he's going off the top rope, getting ready for big game 60 with a big deal to match.
Look at off the top rope.
I'm going to pull that up during the break. There's a resemblance there now that you think about it. VSiN Pro annual subscriber, bet smarter all year long with full access, every best bet, every host, every guest, the DraftKings and Circa betting splits, the AI-powered prop tools, the betting guides, the Super Bowl, the madness, all the picks Monday in the title game. VSiN.com/subscribe. Code FTM. Save your money now. Code FTM. Save $60 today.
That's called teamwork right there. We're going to make that stick. Benjamin Albright covers the Broncos for their flagship station in Denver, KOA Colorado. Get his thoughts on the game coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Early game tomorrow is a doozy. Most of the games are this weekend. Divisional round, you can't go wrong. We get the Bills playing at the Broncos. And welcome back. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're going to talk about this game. We go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Benjamin Albright has covered the league and the Broncos for a long time. He's with KOA Colorado in Denver. Benjamin, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Doing great, fellas. How are you?
Doing really well.
Good, sir.
What did you make of the flip of favorites here? The Bills opened up a 1.5-point road favorite at most sports books, and now Denver's sitting there as the small favorite here.
Well, it's fascinating to me because if you'd asked me that, middle of last week, I would have said it would open the other way and gone the other way. So it's fascinating to me that it flipped to Broncos being the favorite. I think part of that is he's looking at Buffalo and that receiving core right now, which is down to what, three healthy bodies and a practice squad guy or two. So I think people are banking on the one dimensional from Buffalo. However, that's going to force Buffalo in a lot of 12 personnel, which, plays well against what you need to do to beat Denver.
It seems there's a lot of negativity, at least by some columnists there, about the season they've had. That you were on this great streak where you've won 13 of 14, but saying this isn't sustainable. There's no way they're going to the Super Bowl. How about the disrespect locally and also nationally of this team that keeps winning, even though it's been ugly?
Yeah, I think it cuts both ways. I mean, on the one hand, those columns are accurate. I mean, we've gotten this far. We're the number one seed. We're still looking around wondering if this football team's any good. And then, you know, on the flip side of that, hey, you know, they found a way to be resilient. They found a way to come back in the fourth quarter, even when they dug themselves into holes. So there's got to be something said for that. I appreciate both sides of the argument. I'm hoping that that debate will get settled on the field.
So your comment about the Bills going heavy 12 personnel in this matchup then and how that could benefit them throughout the game, individually then speaking, which player or players do you think would benefit the most from that?
On the Bills' offensive side, I mean, you're probably talking about the tight ends there, Knox and what's his face there?
Whose Kincaid.
Name always escapes me. Yeah, Kincaid. There you go. Gosh, I don't know why I always mess on that. Knox and Kincaid, I think those guys. And to be honest with you, tight end's been an Achilles heel against Vance Joseph defense for years. Mm-hmm. So that's something. Now, that said, I do expect a little bit of a coverage change here. What you'll see is regular coverage on first and second down. You get into those third downs, and you probably see Surtain go cover one of the tight ends as well as Jahdae Barron. They'll go to more of a dime look and have those guys covering that. And that's been something they've done at times. When the Raiders trotted out, Bowers and Mayer, that's what they did. They put Surtain on Bowers, and that has kind of been their tight end killer on third down. So that look for those kind of coverage shifts from the Broncos if they go to those situations.
How's the relationship there with Moss and the fans? Is it bad luck? Is it just wrong place? Wrong? How does this guy continue to get all these PI calls? Is he being picked on by officials? How do you see it?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. There's been some things that have definitely been his fault, and then there's some, and I hope I don't get too much trouble for saying this, him playing cornerball while being white. Yeah. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's just one of those things where you're looking at this, and you're like, how do you make that call, man? There's been a few of them that you're just looking at like, wow. And then there's some scenarios where, you know, they've had a couple of touchdowns scored on him, two or three touchdowns that have just been incredibly well defended, and an even better catch. You can go back to the Treylon Burks catch with Washington and look at Moss could have defended that any better, and Burks went up and made an insane Odell Beckham-style catch. So I think the fans are a little more forgiving about Riley Moss than maybe some of the pundits.
We're talking Broncos-Bills here. Follow the money on VSiN, the sports betting network. Our guest, Benjamin Albright, covers the Broncos for KOA Colorado. He's on the Progressive guest line. We saw it unfolding a little bit last week until the Jags got away from it, and that was with Tootin, Etienne. You can run the ball all day in Buffalo, and that was a mistake by Liam Cohen. I don't think you can tell us. Peyton's probably going to stick with it, right? Assuming it's going to work because the key metrics here in Buffalo, they're a disaster on the run defense. How do you see that unfolding overall? And then the combination there of RJ Harvey and Jaleel McLaughlin.
Well, I think that's the first thing. You look at Buffalo, and it is obvious. They're number one against the pass, but 28th against the run. And that's that's one of those things right away you should say, okay, this is what we should do. But then you go back and look at Sean Payton over the course of the year, and that's just not the case. He abandons the run with regularity. Mm-hmm. It's maddening. It's been something I've tweeted about or talked about regularly for the entirety of the season, and that is they just, you know, with J.K. Dobbins out, they just don't have anybody that I guess he has the faith in, and he just gets away from it. Bo Nix wound up leading the league in passing attempts, which is absurd with the offense that we have. That should not be happening. And so, you know, you look at this thing and the faith, I think, in Sean Payton to stick with the more boring aspect of football instead of dialing up, you know, throwing it all over the yard like he wants to do. I think that faith is not there from the Broncos faithful. That said, you got a 1-2 punch with RJ Harvey and Jaleel McLaughlin. Tyler Bidet will be kind of the third down back in terms of blocking. Not going to get much on the stat sheet as far as that kind of stuff goes, maybe a catch or two. But, you know, there's been some grumbling because RJ Harvey is a guy who just turned to a running back position three, 4 years ago. He was a quarterback even into college versus Jaleel McLaughlin, who's the NCAA's all-time leading rusher. You watch these two run the football, and Jaleel is clearly the superior runner. He's got better instincts, better vision, better patience. But RJ catches the ball better out of the backfield. Of course, he's got the gaudy touchdown numbers. You're kind of hoping in this game, if you're a Broncos fan, that Jaleel's going to get the ball on the ground a little bit more on early down type stuff, because otherwise, watching RJ run the football, it's, you know, 2 yards a carry, it's just not working.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And to me, the numbers are so bettable for Jaleel. It's like 20 or 21 and a half for the rushing yards, and he is higher than 5-1 to score a touchdown. And the Bills gave up 18 rushing touchdowns to running backs throughout the year. I just, those to me pop off the page.
Yeah, I mean, I would absolutely hammer the yardage over there for McLaughlin. As far as the anytime, yeah, sprinkle that one. I'm not saying bet the mortgage or anything, but yeah. Certainly sprinkle that anytime. Also, another sleeper, if you're looking for an anytime, Nate Atkins, if he winds up being active, they love him in that low red zone as a guy to kind of get the ball to on some of those choice routes in place of the fullback.
Noted. Writing that down as we speak. Shall look at that during the break. Also, another guy I wanted to ask about the Broncos in the passing game. Something I've talked about now for the last couple of days, Franklin's props, and I get it. I know how the snap share has gone down the stretch where Pat Bryant kind of overtook him when it comes to routes run, targets, et cetera. But Franklin is 14-3 over 2.5 catches on the year, and he's 2.5, and the plus money is as high as plus 145 for him to get 3 catches. To me, that's worth a stab, but what say you?
I kind of like that simply because I think the Broncos are going to be playing from behind at some point, and they will throw. And that's a guy Bo likes dating back to college. Now, Troy drops the ball a little bit, and that's sort of a problem. But the other part of this to take into consideration, Bryant's coming back off the concussion. He's going to be worked back in. You've got little Jordan Humphrey who vultures a catch or two here or there. And then they're going to activate Elijah Moore for this game, the former Bill, who hasn't been active all year. So everybody's kind of got a question mark on if he's going to be active on game day, what his role exactly going to be since they're calling him up, him and Caleb Lohner up. So that's really kind of the question mark if that's going to eat into Troy Franklin's productivity.
You don't think the Bills are going to be able to run the ball much, even though James Cook led the league in rushing yards this year, do you?
I kind of do. I mean, they blew the Broncos off the ball last year. Yeah. They're much bigger on the offensive line. I mean, they got a 347-pound guard, 330-pound tackle. The way to beat the Broncos is to run at them and keep yourself two-dimensional. You look at the defensive line. For all the things the Broncos are great at in rushing the passer, they're not exactly the greatest at stopping the run. They just haven't had a lot of people do it because they've been, they've been in situations where they haven't had to. You look at the heft there. I mean, you've got a nose tackle that's, 285, 295 in Malcolm Roach. DJ Jones is probably the heaviest offensive lineman, defensive lineman, about 305. John Franklin Myers, about 285. Zach Allen, about 290. They just don't have any 300-pounders on the defensive line. And if you're going 12 personnel on top of that, you can blow them off the ball a little bit. And I suspect that's what Buffalo's going to try and do.
Okay, very good. At the end of the day, who do you think comes out on top and wins the game?
Man, it's tough. I want to go with Denver. I'd like to continue cover winning some football here, but Buffalo's got the experience. They've got Josh Allen, and I just don't trust Sean Payton to stick with the run long enough in this one. I could look like an idiot in the end, but I'm going to take Buffalo 23-20.
All right. And they're going to be playing which team then in the AFC title game?
I think it'll be Houston. I just think that team has got a destiny on them. That defense, the most disrespectful defense in football. They don't blitz. They don't disguise it. They just line up in cover three, send the front four, dare you to beat them, and nobody does it.
Very good, Ben. Dynamite info. Thanks so much for the time today. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
There you go. Ben Albright, KOA Colorado, on the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on X at Albright NFL.
Well, it's not often a guest comes on and gives out a 20-1 shot. That's what Atkins is. Anytime. Wow.
Well, and super strong on McLaughlin as well on top of it.
Yeah, and he's so low.
I like him coming in as well.
Rushing. He's big on Harvey receiving.
Right.
Not rushing. Atkins is not, I wonder if Kramer's going to have this. He's 90-1 first touchdown of the game. What a call that could be. 20-1 anytime. That's a bomber.
I'm fairly confident I can guess at least one or two of his long shots he's going to have for the first touchdown scores. You want to write it down right now? Yeah. I think I'll have a side bet with you here. I'll buy you a Coke. You like to drink Coke so much, it's insane. I think that he's going to have Farrell from the 49ers first touchdown score.
Okay.
He loves the backup tight ends.
Boy, that is not a ringing endorsement of Peyton.
No, it was not.
He knows the team, and I mean, wow.
He's right, though, isn't he?
He will abandon the run. And are we going to see this 2 weeks in a row? Let him off the hook? Just run the ball against him. Come on.
And then the Bills are going to be the ultimate team of destiny. We're going to be, again, at the end of the – this weekend and the next weekend. Yeah. It all worked out, man. No Mahomes, no Jackson, no Burrow. Look at this.
Come on. He's got the bye, all this time to look at tape and study how bad they are against the run and what Jacksonville did going right down the field. He's not gonna establish the run and keep pounding them.
The VSiN website has a bunch of handy-dandy tools at your disposal to help out your daily, weekly handicap. Wait until you hear some of the players in action this weekend and how they performed against expectations throughout the year. How much juice are you willing to lay? That's coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. Good to have you on board. Great weekend of football. How would you rank divisional round compared to wild card round compared to next weekend?
This is my favorite round, even though I think last week was an outlier. The games were just phenomenal. The lead changes, first three teams that led at the two-minute warning lost. Sometimes you get, you know, more, you get blowouts, but I think this is the best round because you get four games and the one seeds are involved. Plus, look at what the point spreads are. I mean, I think this is the week.
I've always liked Championship Sunday actually more than the Super Bowl, because then it's, to me, it's more about the journey than the destination, and then you're going to find out actually which two teams are going to play. And then also the Super Bowl is the end of the year, and I don't want the season to end ever, basically.
Yeah.
But the more, you know, you can change your mind on this, I think Wild Card Weekend is really turning into like one of the best weekends of the entire year.
Yeah, this is phenomenal.
Oh, this is so good.
I mean, you get these two games, then we walk into the national title game on Monday. FTM at VSiN.com. Troy and Sioux Falls wants to get nuts. All running back touchdown parlay. Cook, McLaughlin, CMC, Charbonnet, Marks, Williams, Swift, Stevenson. 193-1. I like it.
I think it was 1,993-1.
It's what?
I think it was almost 2,000-1.
Oh, it was 2,000?
I thought it was almost 2,000. Oh, I think so. Yeah, you missed a 9 in there.
Oh, I missed it. Okay.
Niner.
Okay, that makes sense. But with, again, with what Chernoff said, and then also looking at the props and the Opta AI numbers, I could see a lot of these guys flying over in the Bears game. Again, based, and I cannot believe Opta AI, where you're looking at all these wide receivers and tight ends, they have going over, except one guy, and that's Jimmy Superfly Puka, going under, which the resemblance is uncanny when you go back and look at it. But this is, they have Puka under, but everyone, Parkinson over, JSN over, Noel over, Kincaid over, Adams over, Cup over, Burden over, Odunze over, Jennings over, Pop over, Hutchinson over. This is crazy.
Why? Okay.
And they got all running backs under. How it broke down with Opti, with the exception of McCaffrey.
Now,
wow.
We're getting a lot of reaction, by the way, on Puka Nacua and Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Donnie Miller also thinks that Billy from Predator, they all three look alike, tweeted this out.
Yeah, older, yes.
Oxygen Sports says, kudos for nailing this. Puka is Snuka. And then, but Tripp says, love you, but this doesn't rhyme. Oh, we can make
it
rhyme.
To rhyme.
It's close enough to rhyming.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's not nitpick here.
Yeah.
Pissing our parade. Come on.
No, absolutely. I couldn't believe it. Looking at the break, yeah. You got to send that. Did you tweet out the one where he's sitting with Hogan?
I did not, no.
Okay, so that's the one. When you look at the Snuka and Puka, they really look alike with the hair and everything, and that's...
Who was the colonel? Not it wasn't Sergeant Slaughter, but there was another colonel guy who's like a Green Beret, and he gave Snuka a pile driver on the like the cement, and then he opened up, his face was all bloody. And as a small kid, I was panicking. I was like, oh my God, he's my favorite wrestler. Please tell me he's going to be all right.
It was a different time.
Okay.
I remember Piper's Pit, where I think he hit him with a coconut.
He did. The coconut.
Beat the hell out of him on national television. I was concerned.
You don't want to take one off the noggin from a coconut, man. It'll knock your lights out. Okay, so this is VSiN.com, the NFL prop analyzer. Adam Trautman is 11-0 over half a catch on the year. Now, he played in some games. He wasn't targeted. Maybe he didn't. I don't think he played when you look at the game log, but one catch is minus 210. I've been bringing up Franklin all year long, or all week long. 14-3 to the over, 2.5 catches. How about this one? Keon Coleman at DK right now, his catch prop is 1.5. Over that is minus 167. Keon Coleman was 12-1 over this year when he played. You want to lay a $160, $170 for him to get two catches? They're down to 3.5 wide receivers here in the game?
Yeah.
Kyle Manungai, another one. 14-4 under 1.5 catches. Again, heavily juiced to the under.
Okay.
Colston Loveland.
Big game for him.
He's 13-4 under 5.5 catches. That's his current prop number.
That's a lot of receptions, but I think the yards will be there. And again, Loveland and Jimmy Superfly, 5 yards each quarter, 9-1. 10 yards, 30-1. I think there's a scenario where we know what Puka's going to do, but Loveland can be involved early and often. And most receiving yards for a tight end, he's plus 210 at FanDuel and DraftKings in the chalk after what he did last week. He was awesome last week.
Yep, 914 next, by the way, saying Corporal Kirshner.
I don't remember him.
Is the wrestler. I don't remember that name. Corporal sounds right, but absolutely, he gave him a pile driver and the blood was all over the place. How about Superfly Puka over the rushing yards in this game? 2.5?
Oh, it's up now, finally?
Yeah.
Oh, good. How about attempts? I'd rather have over half an attempt.
Oh,
because maybe maybe he doesn't get the 3-4 yards on the carry.
I'll see if that's going to be available.
Yeah. So he had, I think, 2 last week. The one was the touchdown where they threw it behind the line of scrimmage, and then they gave him the ball on an end around any event. So I think they'll give him the ball on an end around here or something behind the line. Good. About time they put that up.
I think attempts might be difficult. And actually, it now moved. I stand corrected. It opened 2.5 up to 3.5, so people have been betting up a little bit.
Yeah, I like it. They haven't put up most receiving yards for the week yet.
I noticed that.
I mean, we knew what Collins wasn't playing, but now it's official. Oh. So the weekly leaders, we still don't have the wide receivers. And I guess we're going to have to wait till before kickoff. And that's when they got us with the Olave. For some reason, they wouldn't put it up till right before kickoff.
Well,
and that's when Chart said, give me Olave, 25-1, and it hit.
Maybe is it this week because of the uncertainty with the Bills' wide receiver room? And on top of that, you also have questions. You had a question away with Odunze, but now he's going to be good to go the way it looks. And you didn't really know, like the Collins situation in Houston. I'm trying to come up with a reason why it couldn't be up yet at this point. And by the way, the prop is up for Puka Nacua rushing attempts.
Oh, it is.
It's 1.5, though.
Oh, come on.
But you want to go under? Under is minus 225 at BetMGM.
Why do they do that?
What would you bet? Would you bet, like, would you lay $3 on over a half of attempt?
Oh, I wouldn't lay $3, but I think he's going to have an attempt for 6-7 yards, but I wouldn't bet my life on it.
Yeah, neither would I. Plus, you have to factor in maybe the conditions could really come into play there.
What's the biggest bomb you like? I still like all teams rushing touchdown, 45-1. There's definitely a path there. And we're only talking about 4 games. Boy, the difference in that. That's 45 at FanDuel. It's 30 at DK.
I think after talking to Ben, kind of cemented my feelings on how the Broncos should be attacked. He was super high in McLaughlin. That's what I brought up the other day. Colonel DeBeers, by the way. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, you said Kirshner.
That's what I thought. Now we're getting more and more tweets on this.
I don't know.
Anyway, that's it. I'm not going to bring it up anymore. But McLaughlin, 2 touchdowns, 70-1.
Good. Will Indiana outscore every divisional round team? Yes, 3-1. That's creative.
I like that. I wish it was like even money so you can go no, get the field. And don't forget Miami's defense obviously is very, very good.
Rams are the chalk, but who could really go off offensively? If the Rams don't have the most points, what do they score if they get it? But also, it could be a low-scoring game, and Miami chews clock, too. That's how I think they're going to have to do it. But that was...
I don't know. You might get some points in this Bills-Broncos game.
You think that could be a high-scoring team?
I'm trying to come up with an idea of how to outscore Indiana. By the way, does Indiana win the game for sure? I don't know.
Well, that's fair, too. Yeah, right.
This is Paul on X. How do you not play Loveland over 4.5 at minus 140? So obviously shop around all the time. So it's automatic, like he's the guy again this weekend?
I think he's there with the yards, yeah. I think they get him involved early and often, too. And it's mixing a lot of Swift. Swift, 10 yards each quarter, 5-1. Swift and Williams, 25 yards rushing each half. Come on, plus 650.
I guess the concern would be...
We just got to fade Decorum on the second drive.
Well, yeah, you got to fade the hot hand here in case it turns into Manungai and also Corum.
Williams, but 5 like yards. Sorry, Williams, 5 yards each quarter, plus 115. 25 yards each half, plus 135. Well, 10 yards each quarter, 4-1. Come on.
Yeah, to me, I'm with Adam Chernoff on this. It should be just a heavy dose of, I would say, both backs for the Rams. They should be able to, we talked about that with the Broncos and how Peyton gets away from the rush. McVay does it all the time. In this game, it should just be, guys, We'll throw when necessary, but other than that, it's going to be Williams and Corum right down their throats.
We talk all the time about making smart bets and smart advertisers doing the same thing with Mission Media. If you want real results, Mission Media connects your brand with audiences that actually engage across premium podcast, connected TV, and data-driven digital campaigns built for measurable ROI. Your brand deserves more than impressions. It deserves influence. Get started. VSiN.com/advertise or email advertising@VSiN.com.
Ryan Kramer next. Always comes loaded with a unique look at the betting board and some long shot bets. Find out who he likes this weekend in the divisional round here on VSiN.